Rump steak. Purged aubergine.
Yes.
Egg. Frittata. Ah, trick question. That's an asthmatic rattlesnake. Okay. Vinyl.
What's cooking on 95BFM?
Super special double header edition.
Jeremy from the Upbeats and Pat from State of Mind, welcome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You guys must be bloody excited because we're on our way into Christmas and the New Year's Eve period, and that's a bloody big old time for dancing and fucking raving.
Yeah, it's a busy time for both of us.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Once we get through the Christmas period's like stress, yeah. And then it's like the relief of having the 26th and be like, all right, it's on now.
Did you say fucking raving?
So, does the audience at a drum and bass gig rave?
Oh, so say that again.
Does the audience yes. at a drum and bass gig rave?
Is raving when you're kind of just thrashing your head side to side
a little definitely.
Bit?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, we get... there are definitely some parties where people still get dressed up and come and glowing it's, shit, you know?
Not quite like Pacifier American rave style.
We had a house DJ in here a couple of weeks ago, and I accidentally said techno while he was in here, and the room iced over. Silence. So hopefully I'm not wading into the same territory.
No, it's pretty hard to offend us. Yeah.
Now, you guys are... playing at FUBAR's 21st birthday. Is that right? 21st?
Yeah,
on Friday night at the studio.
That's right, we're old men.
What is the connection to FUBAR? Because, I mean, I say I was dropping into FUBAR because I'm old enough to have attended FUBAR.
Totally.
But likewise. It's like FUZEN, like a promotions company now kind of
it
thing.
It is, yeah. So yeah. Once they got rid of the clubs, they kind of kept the brand as a promotion group.
But so, yeah, like the FUBAR was legendary club on
yeah,
Queen Street.
Yeah, that was kind like of the club that got me into drum and bass and sort of is the reason I'm sitting here, really. It kind of changed the direction musically that we were into. And
yeah. It says so much about venues, actually, that comment, eh? Like,
yeah.
You need a spot to go and do your thing.
100%.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, we were from Wellington, and that was the place that we aspired to come and play at.
Yeah, so like from Auckland, we knew about like Subculture, Studio 9.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? Was Sub 9.
Sub 9, yeah.
Those were like the Wellington venues that were kind of the equivalent of FUZEN.
Yeah. But this, even though we didn't grow up in Auckland, and so it wasn't maybe as pivotal to us and like coming out to those parties, it was a really big part of our like growth in our trajectory in our career was like this was the place that we would come to in Auckland, and you know this is now our home, and we're still very much tied in with that whole family. There are like Gareth, who runs FUZEN, is our agent, and we're like really close friend. Love those guys, so to be able to celebrate with them is amazing.
For those of you that don't know, Gareth also throws Northern Bass.
Yes, indeed.
Yep, that's the one.
Number one.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
we don't want to pick sides, but probably the number one New Year's Eve festival.
Not just...
It's the most powerful. Just, when you look at the lineups, it's like, ooh, that's quite powerful.
Not just number one in New Zealand either. Like, this is the best New Year's festival in the world for my money.
Fair enough.
Now, this is we've roped you into a guest selection feature, so we thought... Perhaps we should kick off with a couple of songs. Where do we want to start?
Oh, should we play some of the stuff that kind of brings back memories from that time?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, a trip down memory lane.
I've got a few tracks in front of me in sort of no particular order. You guys have sent through three each, basically.
Yeah, let's go for that one.
So Ed Rush and Optical Flight Path is a tune... that I remember from early Queen Street days. And this is off an album called The Creeps that was pretty important to us.
Such a sick
album. And this tune in particular is one of my favorites off it.
Flight Path. The
Fubar Classic.
Straight up.
Ed Rush, Optical, and is that Matrix on the track as well?
It is Matrix, yeah, which is Optical's brother.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
It is. Yeah. The Quins.
Someone's just texted in, Electronica forever.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Fu Studio and Ministry, etc.
Yeah,
oh,
Ministry. The
ministry, shout was, out, ministry.
That was Christchurch's version, really.
Yeah.
Now, you guys are doing a back-to-back on Friday night at the studio. What the hell does that look like?
Yeah, so we've been talking about that. So I think because it is 21 years, we were going to play some older tunes as well.
Yeah, totally.
And we got Tali on the mic, and she's, you know, she's got a history longer than ours, to be fair. She's, her full cycle, Ronnie Size kind of hookup. We were thinking potentially go there too.
Straight up an OG.
How does it work? I mean, I feel like drum and bass has probably come quite a long way in the last 20 odd years. How does it work like mixing in different production styles into a new, like old set and new set? You're like, oh my god, that sounds a little bit different. Stark contrast.
There's definitely a lot of the stuff from especially 20 years ago. You kind of have to be a little bit selective about the stuff that you do choose to play. There's some stuff that still stacks amazingly up. Sounds pretty good. There's a lot of stuff that you'd struggle to get it to.
Is it just a mix for a big PA?
The production techniques in 20 years have just come so far. Right. Like it's so much louder, so much cleaner.
And it's so much about the context. Like if you're playing stuff from 20 years ago with modern stuff, then it can be hard to get the balance right. If you're just playing stuff from 20 years ago, then it's a bit easier.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's a quick EQ on the fly.
Gain way down on the new thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and especially going back that far, I'm not sure how much of that will play, but there's a lot of that stuff that was never released digitally. It's all just like recordings off vinyl or data or whatever.
I was about to say, what do you guys actually use when you're mixing?
CDJs.
Yes, yeah. CDJs, and we're all on USB now.
Yeah.
Do you have a specific CDJ that you like?
Me personally, not really. Long as it's Pioneer, it's some anything. Of those models. I don't think I've ever used the Denon stuff, to be honest. That was the only other...
Pioneer is legit industry standard.
So that's the Tech Rider. What's on the other rider? What does a drum and bass DJ sort of require when they're backstage?
A stupid amount of alcohol.
Yeah, it's a long list, to be honest. And it's like, it often gets kind of...
It's embarrassing.
Do you really need all of this? And then...
Yeah.
At the end of the show, they're kind of like, okay, well, yeah, I guess you guys do.
Well, no.
Club sandwiches?
Okay, so disclaimer. Because
asparagus rolls.
Yeah, and asparagus rolls.
Disclaimer in case someone books us and sees the rider and is like, it's all there for that night that you turn up with the crew and you want to have a great night.
Yeah, it's not
it's
all
not
of us.
It's not there because that's what you're going to do every show. It's like the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's... I wouldn't be here if I finished all of that on my own every show.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Still a takeaway Tupperware.
Yeah, so. Well,
yeah, you've
totally.
Got a doggy bag, obviously.
The cupboard is healthy, I tell you.
What is on the rider? I'm going to hear it. What's some random stuff that might be on the rider that wouldn't expect?
I think there's like 2 dozen beers. There's a bottle of Jack Daniels for me. I do drink that myself.
What do you? What sort of mixer do you run with a JD?
There's Hendrix gin for stews. Nice. And then there's various like jelly lollies for sugar fix.
Yeah.
I was a gin guy for like 15 years and I just had to change it up. So I'm now running a chamosa, which is like a mimosa but with vodka because Christchurch.
I did think that. Like I saw like a gin and tonic is a good drink. But and like the end of a show when there's no ice left in the green room, there's just like flat tonic. That gin is looking less inspiring.
Yeah. So
Should we drop into another one of these songs. Where did we want to go? Jeremy, do you have a song for us?
Oh yeah, so my classic is a little bit less of a throwback but has some sentimental value with the whole Fuzian family. Sago is the one.
Sago, the Upbeats with Mara TK on the track.
Yes, indeed.
Nice one.
That's silky, silky smooth.
I'll be ready when you say go. 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 It's that cloud of smoke sitting in the sky. A girl came by, she set a fire, trying to lay low. She wants to go. Baby, if you say so. Baby, if you say so. Said, baby, we ain't blue, we're ultraviolet.
Yeah. The Upbeats with Mata TK, that's Say Go.
Yeah, so that one's not necessarily like a full throwback classic, but that one definitely has some like strong links to some of the Fuzian family. Have for me at least, I have very strong memories of closing out the main stage at Northern Base with that one, and also getting videos from like Gareth and Mielma and their little one dancing along to the song. And I know that there are some more of the extended Fuzian family that have like, that's one of those songs that we've kind of connected over. So
right,
yeah,
right.
It must be kind of an interesting thing doing a run of New Year's Eve festivals in New Zealand, which is a great time to play music.
Totally.
But at what point do you go, must be so tempting to just go, all right, brakes are off, let's four sheets to the wind, like on the 27th. Like, I mean, what day can you really drop the hammer if you're an artist?
This guy's the one to tell you.
I've had a couple of afterwards, and one leading in once with a mutual friend of ours that I wasn't even sure what day it was, and
I was there for the leading in one.
I realized that I suddenly had to get to a main stage of a festival to close it. And I was still in Auckland, and I thought I had a day to spare. But yeah, let's sit on radio about that. The better.
So you're saying you reckon? I mean, I said, you know, earlier we didn't want to play favourites, but Northern Bass, best sound system, best festival in the world,
best rig for sure.
Yeah.
Lighting, visuals is always amazing there.
Yeah.
As like playing overseas and whatnot, is that, what do you think that New Zealand could improve on in that realm of just putting on the show? Because obviously overseas, like, there's a numbers game and everything's a lot more just extra.
Sound systems is definitely one thing. Clubs in Auckland, I think that's one thing that is seriously lacking. But that's,
which is kind of understandable as well, though. We're so
noise problems.
Well, not only noise problems, but we're so isolated. We don't have those big companies that have big distribution centers here with serious sound systems. Yeah. Like, it's very expensive to get a good sound system here.
Yeah.
I understand that, but at the same time, I think the demand is here. There's an amazingly active scene for dance music. It would be nice if there were some more like proper, dedicated, high-spec clubs.
Yeah. And a place for it. Because it is, I think it does come down to like people living in the city realizing that you're living in the city. Man.
I know, you would think they would have some sort of that Melbourne-type protection that if you move into somewhere close to a venue, that the venue that's been there for X amount of time longer than the apartments would have. Some
kind of why you moved into the city.
Yeah, it's like, why are you moving there?
But then I think, having said that, going back to the festival side of things, though, the New Year's thing, like,
yeah, a bit of grass out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, those rigs are pretty amazing.
They are.
The production in general in New Zealand over festival season is
seriously high standard.
For a country of this size.
Right.
Like, there's a reason that we get some of the biggest acts in the world coming here for New Year's, is because some of these festivals are serious.
Yeah.
Like,
and
they
consistent.
Are punching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we get straight into another track?
Totally.
Sure.
What's on the menu here? I've got some sauce. This is the beer.
Nisa Ebb.
Should we do the freshney thing? Your thing.
Okay, so this.
Yeah, next one is like a current tune. This is released on a label that we're signed to called Blackout. It's by some new dude, freshney, and
where is he from?
I think he's from the UK.
Oosh.
And it's
is this something you might drop live?
Well, so we did like a tour together recently, and I was playing before Jeremy.
So I wasn't allowed to play
both nights. So I would drop the second to last tune just to let him know that it had been dropped.
Yeah. So basically, when we do the back to back, I'm opening.
Yeah,
with
he's
going
to open with that. And it's actually like the second half of it is a nightmare to mix off as well. So.
Oh, I see. Right. I see. So there it is.
There it is.
This is freshney with Tucked Away.
That is.
That's fresh new with Tucked Away. Nice short one. We're actually talking about the format of drum and bass songs kind of shrinking down a little bit. And you guys were saying Spotify has a lot to play for that.
Not necessarily
DJing as well.
For the final outcome of like how the DJ versions of the songs are done. But DJing in general within drum and bass, it's very normal to just slam tunes together very quickly now. Mm. And so people don't bother doing 5 to 7 minute structures anymore.
And also like the intros used to be a lot longer because if you were mixing on vinyl, it would take you like the full minute if you were playing on dusty decks that hadn't been serviced and it was drifting, it would take you a good minute to mix it in.
Sure, sure.
Now it's all digital and people are using sync, and
I did notice that drop came a little bit quicker than normal.
Exactly. Exactly.
Have you thought about reissuing the first State of Mind album on vinyl?
How long have you been thinking about that question?
No, I just thought about that then.
I don't even know who we would approach to get it done on vinyl anymore.
Concord Dawn? What's his...
Matt?
I got in touch with Matt to get a copy, and he had to dig to find a CD copy, I think. Because it's been stolen from the library.
The original album, Take Control, was done... So it had been released, a big amount of the tunes had been released on vinyl on different labels over in the UK. And so we had collated it but kept the rights for New Zealand. And so that's why it only came out on CD over here. So there was no Take Control on vinyl.
Yeah.
Just had a hot take on the text machine. Just do a massive mic creep.
Yes, here we go.
New Zealand, improve on crowd behaviour, please, tribe. Enough with the pushing from the back, not giving each other enough space to dance, disrespecting the ladies and generally just being shit at dancing. It's called cutting some shapes, not carrot up bum pogo dancing. Kelly, thanks for everything you have done both over the years, guys, respectively, two of the baddest mofos in the land, and a huge happy B-Day to all the Fuzan tribe. Love to you, fam.
Cheers, thank you.
Plus your tickets to the gig.
Agreed as well.
That's a solid text, man.
Totally.
It had everything.
Well, it's hard as well.
Thanks for texting him, Mum. I appreciate it.
Well, it's hard. If you've been coming out to gigs for... years, 10, 15 years, then especially 10, 15 years ago, if you were coming to drum and bass gigs, they weren't sold out. They weren't packed to the rafters. Right. And now for a lot of people, for a lot of these shows, they're totally packed. And so it's hard to be, you know, conscientious and respectful of people around you if you've got people barging into you in the back as well. It's like small venues that are packed to the rafters.
And I used to see it in like a lot of European shows where they... festivals would play out there where they'd start the kind of circle of death thing, and then that slowly has drifted in.
Totally.
Like I saw that down at Mardi Gras in Awakuni
while
we were playing. It's slowly drifted.
It's kind of not the vibe, I guess, for you guys.
Well, for dance music,
it's got a pretty crummy ring to it, actually.
For dance music, it's always kind of a weird thing because it doesn't really.
Yeah.
I mean, for punk shows and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
They're taking the tempo the wrong way.
It kind of feels like there are certain places.
They're taking their energy.
In Belgium or the Netherlands, you're like, okay, they've kind of made this part of their culture for drum and bass. I'm like, okay, you guys just do you. But here it's definitely like most of the people in this crowd don't want this.
They expect this.
They're
don't
not
want
here
it.
For this. Like, you're just ruining
inside
a whole
four
lot of people.
It doesn't really work.
Yeah, especially in a sold out club. I'm like, please just don't.
There you go.
How have you guys found, obviously, not being able to travel this year? What has that meant for basically two international acts, you know, that make a living from touring internationally? How's it been trying to pull it together in New Zealand?
We've been really fortunate that New Zealand has this insane scene, like particularly right now for drum and bass. Like, we've been able to cane it here, which has been incredible. And... feel grateful for that, and also kind of almost guilty that all of our peers overseas are like longingly looking at what we're doing.
Don't really think about that, and then you'll be tagged in some stuff from the shows you play on the weekends, and we'll just repost it, and then have fans in Europe just being like,
miss you,
just crying emojis that they're still stuck inside, exactly.
Should we get another one?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Where are we going?
So I think it'd be the other, the current fave, which is the Source.
The Source.
The
this
Source.
Is intriguing.
Is this, the Source is like Total Science and...
DLR.
And DLR.
Track's called 100.
Don't even matter, it's just, just whatever I feel, you know what I mean? It don't even have no particular sound. It's just like... You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm 100% every day, all day. Some grimy loop shit. That's that old finish. Every day, all day. Some grimy loop shit.
I'm 100%.
This is The Source with 100.
Yes, indeed.
How do I pronounce this next one?
Nights at Ebb. So this is just some, I ended up stumbling on some, I went down like an early industrial wormhole on Spotify, and this is one of the things that I found that I was right into. I never heard of the band before.
Let's go. Oh yeah, it's a little bit Udo.
Yeah.
I never. you're back in the room.
Oh, yep. So that was interesting.
It's like hypnotism, and you're back.
Jeremy from The Upbeats and Pat from State of Mind in the studio. Got a big run of shows over the summer, playing FUBAR's 21st birthday this Friday night at the studio. Playing back to back.
Back to back, baby girl. Yeah,
indeed.
Yeah.
Do you guys
haven't actually done this in a long time.
I don't think we've ever
done it just the two of us as well. It's like a first.
It's kind of high stakes, you know? Like the 21st birthday, and we were just talking about the crowd's going to be kind of like, you're going to have to convince a lot of people either way.
Are you both doing a yardie before you play as well?
it is a 21st after all.
Yeah.
So, we could, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at my time's on 21st. Water, then yeah, you've got to stay hydrated, you know?
down there at Old Mate Neck of the Woods.
No, studio.
Studio. Sorry,
guys.
Shit, I've really let everyone down. Let me turn my fucking...
But yeah, this is going to be awesome. Can't wait. Yeah.
Are you guys sort of going to cooperate in the next day or two and pull a set list together?
No.
Well, we're thinking about stitching each other up, to be honest. Like, you know,
this is going to be on the fly. This is going to be some straight up jams.
I've already seen, like, Jeremy during the week has like asked Instagram people, what's the worst tunes I can play that I have to follow up on? What's the hardest to mix off? So I thought the tone was friendly, but obviously.
I had some great suggestions too. Are you susceptible
to the crowd screaming something out and you'll have it? Or what's the vibe there?
Is that like a thing?
I don't know. If you're that guy that, or girl that holds up the phone in the front row for 10 plus...
With $20.
But it's studio.
Times.
It's studio. And neither of our eyesight's amazing, so.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm not going to be able to tell. And we're playing with Tali, so, you know, whatever we do and how.
She can read it back to us.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Very nice, very nice. Are we going to go out on some disclosure?
Yes.
What do we need to know about this track?
This is just one of those tunes that I've been loving lately. One of those things with this album, I think, in general, Disclosure album, was that they just found this really nice balance of it having like a lot of energy and sounding quite loose and raw, but still sounding beautiful. Like, they nailed that. And this with Mick Jenkins, I never thought I'd hear Mick Jenkins do this kind of thing. Like, nailed it.
Yeah. All right, dudes. Mm. See you Friday.
Yeah, awesome. Friday.
See you Friday.
Kia ora,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
That was What's Cooking on 95 BFM.